Many of y'all know me, but if you don't know me, my name is Max Bunn. My wife, Kathleen, and I have four children. We've been serving here at Briarwood as the college pastor for the last 10 years. I'm honored to be here with you this evening and thankful for the privilege to preach to you from the Word of God. Turn with me in your copies of God's Word to John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Read with me from the Word of the Lord. Verse 12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can learn from it. We thank you that you use it to equip us and teach us. You use it to draw sinners to yourself. You use it to bring people that are in darkness into light. We just praise you for that. And we pray tonight, God, that you would speak to our hearts. God, that you would renew our minds. And you would help us to know you and love you and glorify you and shine like lights in this dark world for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to serve on the host committee for General Assembly. That was held here in Birmingham, as many of you know. And because I was a part of that committee, they got me a hotel room down at the Sheraton. And so I stayed down there most of the week, but my family didn't. In fact, for most of the week, my wife was like a single parent with four kids, so I could be fully engaged with the assembly. So I want you to imagine with me for a second that after the assembly, I come home, I see all four of the kids around the house, they're running around, they're doing various activities, but I don't see my wife. So I'm looking around for her, I don't see her, so I ask one of the kids, where's mom? They say, she's in the bathroom cleaning. I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird, but I go to find her, and as I get closer to the bathroom, I can smell the bleach. That's her favorite cleaning component that she loves to use. But I noticed something weird. The door is closed and the lights are off. And I begin to think, this is really odd. But we've been married long enough, having four kids, you know that something is bound to happen when you are gone from home for more than 24 hours. There's a high chance that one of the kids has done something to push mom over the edge. So I say through the bathroom door, honey, are you okay? And she says, yes, I'm fine. I'm just cleaning the bathroom. And I'm like, well, why are the lights off and the doors closed? She says, there's just so much darkness in here. I'm trying to get it all cleaned up. I've been working for hours and I've tried all kinds of cleaners to clean this darkness up. And nothing will work. I know I can stop my story right here because we all know, right? It's a little ridiculous. There's no amount of effort that can take away darkness, right? There's only one thing that can rid my bathroom at home of the darkness. And it's not my wife's cleaning abilities, but it's light. We have to open the door. We have to turn up the blinds. We have to turn on the lights in the bathroom. Light is the only thing that has the power to dispel the darkness. And I'm sure if I gave every one of you a few minutes, we can all think of a time when we see the power of the light to dispel darkness. One of my favorite times is when I've been out at the lake. Getting up early, looking out over the water before the sun comes up, when it's really dark and still, and then the sun starts to rise. It dispels the darkness immediately, and it's beautiful and it's powerful. And honestly, for me, one of the most powerful pictures of light dispelling darkness is right here at Briarwood. During our Christmas Eve service, after a brief sermon from Pastor Reeder, all the pastoral staff are invited to the front of the church. The lights are turned off. Most of y'all have been here. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's completely dark. And Pastor Reeder lights a candle, one candle, and he holds it up. And it begins to light the whole sanctuary, this huge room with this little bitty candle. But he doesn't just take that candle and hold it up. He begins, after a moment, he begins to light the staff's candles. And then we begin to light other people's candles. And before you know it, the whole sanctuary is lit up again. But not from these lights above. They're lit up from the individual candles being held up in the dark. And it fills the sanctuary with light. And it dispels all the darkness. You see, Jesus tells us that He is the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Why does Jesus tell us this? Why does He use this language? Well, from the previous chapter, we know that Jesus makes this claim about Himself on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And in verse 20 of this chapter, we see that He is standing in the treasury of the temple. This area was also known as the Temple Court of Women, and had a big courtyard area where all the people could gather. Both of these facts are important to understand exactly what Jesus was claiming about Himself. The Feast of Tabernacles was a celebration of God's deliverance from Egypt and God's provision and protection in the wilderness. During the Feast of Tabernacles, there were two ceremonies that took place every day. One was the pouring out of the water, where water was poured out daily by the priest onto the altar. And it was to remind the people of how God miraculously provided water for them from the rock when they were in the desert. The second was called the illumination of the temple. The illumination of the temple took place in the temple court of women. Each night, four tall golden torches were set up. Some historians say these torches were as high as the temple walls, 40 feet. Young priests, younger than me, BYG staff young, young priests would climb ladders and fill the bowls of the torches with 65 liters of oil and light the torches. These torches represented God as the great pillar of fire that led the people during their 40-year journey in the wilderness. The torches would illuminate the whole temple and much of Jerusalem. One ancient Jewish scholar said, there was not a courtyard in Jerusalem that did not reflect their light. The people would gather under the light. They would dance and they would celebrate all through the night until dawn. And this is the context. This is the picture where Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. For the Pharisees and others listening to Jesus, there would be no mistake and no misunderstanding about what Jesus was declaring about Himself. He's declaring, I am God. I'm the one who delivered you from slavery. I'm that pillar who protected you from the Egyptian army. I'm the pillar of light that guided you and comforted you in the wilderness. He was also declaring that He was the expected Messiah, the Savior of the world, the light of the nations. Listen to Isaiah, what he says about Jesus. It says, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. In Malachi 4:2 it says, but for you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. It is in light of this bold declaration by Jesus that He says, whoever follows me. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? To understand this, it is important for us to look at how Israel followed the pillar of light in the wilderness during the 40-year wandering. So we're going to read from Numbers 9:15 through 23. I have it up on the screen so you can read along with me. It's kind of a long passage, but it gets across the point And it shows exactly what Jesus is trying to communicate to the people when he says, I'm the light of the world. So read along with me, starting in verse 15. It says, on the day that the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle like the appearance of fire until morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud lifted over the tent, after that, the people of Israel set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, there the people of Israel camped. And at the command of the Lord, the people of Israel set out. And at the command of the Lord, they camped. As long as the cloud rested over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued over the tabernacle many days, the people of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was a few days over the tabernacle, and according to the command of the Lord, they remained in camp. Then, according to the command of the Lord, they set out. And sometimes the cloud remained from evening until morning. And when the cloud lifted in the morning, they set out. Or if it continued for a day and a night, when the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a longer time that the cloud continued over the tabernacle, abiding there, the people of Israel remained in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they set out. At the command of the Lord, they camped. And at the command of the Lord, they set out. You get the point, right? Their every movement was dictated by God. If God moved, they moved. If God stayed, they stayed. Israel's following was marked by an ongoing and continual submission and obedience. Their focus was supposed to be on the pillar, not on themselves, not on their circumstances, not on the world around them, but on the pillar. This reminds me a lot of my personal testimony. I grew up in the church. I had been taught the scriptures and knew a lot about God. I also knew that I was walking in darkness. I was focused on myself. I was focused on what would satisfy and fulfill me. Sports, partying, girls. I used each of these things to try to dispel the darkness in my life. It didn't work. I just found more darkness. And about halfway through my junior year in high school, I realized it wasn't working. I was miserable. So I made my focus trying to clean up the darkness in my life. I tried not to do these things, these bad, sinful things. I tried to do these things, these good, moral things. I even made a list of what those things were. I tried harder and harder. It didn't work. I was still miserable and looking for the light of life. It wasn't until right before my senior year in high school that someone shared with me Luke 9:23. And it says, and Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. At that moment, I told that person that was sharing with me that I had just denied myself and that I was following Jesus. But the more that I thought about the words of Christ, I realized I wasn't really following Jesus. I had never really followed Jesus. At best, I was just trying to avoid the darkness and clean the darkness up in my life. I didn't really want Jesus' deliverance. I didn't want him to guide me, comfort me, and protect me in this world. When I was honest with myself, I wanted just to live my life for me. I said I followed Jesus, but in reality, I followed me. This broke me. I had claimed to be a Christian most of my life, and I realized my whole life was a lie. So I gave up. I surrendered my life. I submitted myself to Jesus. I pledged my allegiance to him alone, and I followed him. I made it my whole life focus to follow Jesus. That is what Jesus is calling the people to in the temple court, and he's calling us to tonight. Follow me, the light of the world. Submit yourself to me. Pledge your allegiance to me. Obey me. Trust me. Follow me. Make this the whole focus of your life. We can't miss this point. The call of Jesus is not to not walk in darkness. The call of Jesus is not to try to get the light of life. But the call of Jesus is follow Jesus. And guys, this is an ongoing, continual call. It's a daily call. Daily take up your cross and follow me. So what is the result of making the focus of your life following Jesus? Jesus gives us two promises. First is you will not walk in darkness. One pastor said it like this. It is Jesus or darkness. You see, these are the only two options in this world. Follow Jesus or remain in darkness. So what is this darkness that Jesus is talking about? Jesus is talking about the human condition. This past week, my youngest daughter had her first catechism camp with our children's ministry. And guys, this is just one of my favorite things our children's ministry does, because it just instills all these foundational biblical truths into the hearts and minds of our children, and especially my children. They need it. And I love it because many of these things I didn't learn or hear until I was in my mid-20s. So what does this have to do with the human condition and the darkness Jesus is talking about? Everything. Listen to some of these questions and answers from the children, what they learned this last week. Question 21. In what condition did God make Adam and Eve? Answer, He made them holy and happy. But what happened? Did they remain that way? No. Why? They sinned. They didn't trust God. They didn't obey God. They sinned. They disobeyed God. So, question 33. What befell our first parents when they had sinned? Answer, instead of being holy and happy, they became sinful and miserable. So what effect does that have on me and you? I'm glad you asked. Question 35. What effect had the sin of Adam had on all mankind? Answer, all mankind are born in a state of sin and misery. And the last one I will share to get the point across. Question 37. What does every sin deserve? Answer, the wrath and curse of God. This is the human condition. The darkness that Jesus, the light of the world, came to expose and rescue us from. We are born in a state of sin and misery, and we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve hell, which is God's wrath and judgment for all eternity in outer darkness. So we need the light of the world to expose our sin and free us from our sin. There is no other way to see our sin and be forgiven from our sin except through the light of Christ. Let me be clear. Jesus is the only way. There is no amount of effort on our parts that can remove the darkness from our sin and from our lives. The darkness also affects the way we know and see the world around us. We need the light of the world to understand and see the world clearly. You see, we will never understand our lives and the things in the world without the light of the world. But with the light of the world, we can begin to understand the world and know Jesus. We can have confidence that God is working all things for our good. We also can have confidence that we will not suppress the truth and knowledge about Him and exchange the truth for Him about Him for a lie. But we can continue to grow into His image and likeness. God's Word promises us that that darkness has not and will not overcome the light. But this doesn't mean that we won't experience the effects of living in a dark and fallen world. We will still experience the effects of darkness through suffering, pain, persecution, and even physical death. But we can have confidence that the light of the world will never be overcome by darkness. And they will never, and we will never experience eternal darkness. The second result of following Jesus is you will have the light of life. You will have the light of life. Think about this for a second. Those who follow Jesus will not just see the light of life, but we will actually possess it. This is key, because those who possess the light of life can have confidence that Jesus will guide them in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. Lastly, we possess this light to be a light in the dark world. In Philippians 2:15, it says, Paul tells us that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Paul also tells the Ephesian church, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells his followers in verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So what should be our response to Jesus' claim and call on our lives? Will we be like the Pharisees who keep trying to clean the darkness out of their lives with rules and regulations and their own efforts? Or will we be offended by Jesus' bold claims and tell Jesus that his witness about himself is untrue? Or will we submit to the light of the world and follow him? For those of us that are following Jesus, that are all in, these words from Kent Hughes, I think will challenge and encourage you as I close out. He says, if you are going through difficult and hard times, if you are confused as a believer, there is a good chance you again need to submit to God. I would encourage you to do what is implied here, to stay under the pillar. You must not run ahead of the pillar or stand behind it. You must stay under it. That requires faith and submission to the will of God. I don't know what you guys are going through. I don't know all of you. The ones I do know, I know that there's lots of challenging and hard things going on. I know in my own life, when things get sideways, when things get hard, when things get out of whack, a lot of times it's really simple. Just like Kent Hughes is saying right here, I just need to get back down on my knees and resubmit my life to him. Put myself back under that pillar. Because things are hard, things are challenging, because I want to get ahead of God. I don't want to stay under him. I don't want to submit to him. I want to do my own thing. But I have to recommit to put my faith and trust in him, in his will for my life. To others of you that are here tonight, you might be like me, how I was growing up. You know a lot about God. You say you're a Christian, but you have never followed him. You're really honest with yourself. You know lots about him. You know the verses. You know how to play the game. But you've never really submitted yourself to him. Or you're working really hard. We live in this American culture, right? Where we're Americans. We can pull our bootstraps up. We can try harder. We can do it. Just like I did. I was trying to clean my life up. I was trying to flee darkness and clean up the darkness from my life with my own effort. It doesn't work. Trust me. All you will find is more darkness. So look to Jesus. Follow him. Submit to him. And as you do, he promises you will not walk in darkness and you will have the light of life. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you tonight and we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we know we live in a dark world. We know that if we know you, we have been pulled from the darkness into the light. We are so grateful. We're so thankful, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for opening the eyes of our heart so that we can see you, see your light, and follow you. Lord, I pray for those that are here tonight that haven't followed you, that haven't submitted themselves to you, or maybe those that are struggling, that are getting ahead of you, are not wanting to submit to you, be under you. God, I pray that they would stop. God, that they would get down on their knees, that they would recommit themselves, God, to following you, putting themselves under you, the pillar of light, to lead them, to guide them, to direct them. We pray these things, God, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.